Good morning and thank you for listening. I'm Vince Kelvin. This is a pre-EC20 Decade of Dream podcast. And it's about 5:16 a.m. We're here with Fly Hudson, the lesbian pickup artist. I'm personally just starting my day, doing my best to sound sharp. It's an exercise that I like to do to avoid sounding too much like I just got up. And on her side, Fly is just finishing her day. So, Fly, how are you? At 5:19 a.m.
At 5:18 a.m., I'm doing amazing right now. I am getting ready for a photo shoot. I'm going to be shooting with a rat rod, and then I'm going to be shooting with a motorcycle, and then I'm going to be doing some other stuff too. So it's been a great morning.
Amazing. Now, Tell us about your career, your modeling career, and I just would like to outline that I think that about 2 years ago, around the same time, we were also doing a podcast for the convention then, and the modeling thing was almost like a goal at the time. So you went very fast, you expedited, and you made it happen, which is going to be very inspiring to our listeners. That shows that whatever goal, aspiration you have, you decide and you make it happen. So tell us more about all the excitement around your career in modeling.
Sure. So it's definitely, it's not what I expected. I thought it had to be a lot of prim and proper, high society kind of stuff, but it's more of an artistic expression. How can I put it? You can do all kinds of photo shoots around all kinds of things, and you can use photos for all kinds of things too. So some people may use them for advertisements. Some people make magazines. So me, I've been this past year, I was published in a bikini magazine, and then as a photographer, I also had my one of the pictures that I had taken used on a dating advice website. That was partnered through a blog called Speaking of China, which handles a lot of intercultural relationships. So it's actually been like an amazing stir. I go out like a lot to shoot. A lot of people ask me, oh, do you go out clubbing? No, I'm actually like with my weekends and my hobbies and stuff like that, I'm always shooting, whether it's taking photos or it's posing for something. I love to create. And it also can be pretty profitable too if you choose to pick up gigs. Or since I did explain before, I was also in the kind of camming business, I am able to use some of those photos to sell and also add to my income. So it's a way to be productive. I can also meet new models. I shoot in all kinds of wonderful places, and you also get to travel. So there's, you know, you get to have food and see the sights and do all kinds of fun things like that. So that's what I've been up to with modeling.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Now, it seems that you're maximizing, you're making it pay off in many ways. That's always a very helpful and interesting template, you know, to do one thing but make it pay off in many ways. So tell us more about that aspect, because you're taking pictures at the same time. You're also a model, so.
Sure. So it's just been an adventure. I think it must have been because I was inspired by my former boss before the company had closed down. He had said, you know, it's not worth working if you're not doing something that you love. And I thought about that for a very long time, because in the past I would just take up office jobs, administrative assistant and stuff like that. And it didn't feel like a good fit, like it was, you know, I wanted to have more control of my life. So when I went into modeling and photography and everything like that, I had done my research, and there was also somebody through the academy from my former boss that I was in that I met, and I was following her Instagram, and that's how I was able to find out all the websites to go on to. Because there are places out there, there are resources for people who are interested in modeling. And we've always, I've always had this Nikon camera, the one that I have. I've had it before. I was supposed to use it to shoot infield videos, but I never actually gave it a try because I always worked with the smaller one. So I figured it was also a good way to put it to use. And then the person who I'm studying under right now just te taught me how to use it, and now I can use that also.
Fly, oftentimes the desire is there for people to, do what they love. That initial transition to go from not doing what we really most love to starting to do what we love eludes many people. It's a little tricky. We hear the stories of those who are doing what they love. At the same time, where do you begin? How do you make sure you follow through? And how do you make it happen fairly fast while also remembering that it's a process and to not fall for the expectation that it's going to be overnight? So, what recommendations do you have for people to start to move in the direction of what they really love without it taking too much time? Because some may stay in a job they don't like, and each year they say, oh, next year. And also knowing that it's a process.
I think people need to find something that they would put above all else for women. Like, if there was no way that they could get women, I say it like weirdly, right? If there was no way, like, they did not care about getting women at all or involving themselves in that, what would they do? Would it be, I don't know, horseback riding? Would it be fighting? Would it be a sport? What would that be? And then you involve yourself in it. You dive deep into it. You build your life, well, not your whole life, but a big part of your life around it. You go to practices or you meet other people who do that, and then the women follow. What happens is that people get so wrapped up in the idea of just getting girls. And that's a, it's a plus, right? Like, being a model and a photographer, like, it's definitely been a plus for me, for meeting women. But when I first meet with a model, my first interaction with them isn't to, like, hey, yeah, you're cute. I'm cute too. Like, want to do something? like how freaking weird some people can be. I'm just like, no thanks. Like, I'm here to shoot. I'm here to get great pictures. And the last thing you want to do is make the model feel uncomfortable or weird, because it's like, oh, then the pictures are going to be coming out looking weird. There's so many pictures out there where photographers have obviously creeped up on, like, creeped on the models, because you can see it in their expression in the photos, and it's ruining the photo. Like, it's not a beautiful romantic photo. It's a person who's scared for their life photo, and we do not want to have that. So, put the
When I
passion
asked you
first.
the question, I heard in my head passion. I could tell you're very passionate, and I think that's essential. Same thing could happen with money too. If a person puts money before passion, that comes in the way, right? So tell us
So,
a little bit about then. Okay, sorry, I didn't know you were gonna
No,
say
I was,
something else. Please go
no,
for it.
sometimes I just talk out loud. No, sometimes random things come out of my mouth, so go ahead.
I was counting on you to go for it. I'm barely waking up. I usually wake up every morning at about 3:30 or
Sure, should I?
4 a.m. And today I decided to sleep in until 5 a.m.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, maybe I could tell everybody how I got into modeling.
That would be awesome.
Sure. Okay. So I used to be a part of a thing called Jump Cut Academy, and I'm not going to get into that too deeply, but there was a girl there who was posting about her YouTube channel. I forgot what she was doing. It was something about gender equality, but she did the videos while she was naked. And she had blurred it out, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And she found out, oh, I do lesbian pickup. I teach women how to meet other women and all that stuff. And she was like, oh, let's do a collaboration sometime. But we never actually did like a interview or anything like that, because she had other things that were going on. But I followed her on Instagram, because I was always like, oh, okay, like that would be nice to get into Instagram for a little bit, you know, see what I can do to build up engagement with pickup. And she was posting all these beautiful, high quality photos. She also, I was inspired because she has, I follow models for specific features, you know, things that they have that I'm attracted to. And also people who model for a cause, right? So she had alopecia, which is the, oh my God, I'm going to sound ignorant as hell. It's a balding condition. Wow. Somebody's going to cuss me out, and I hope they do hardcore because I'm not educated on it. But that's why I followed her, because I figured, hey, you know, I could get some education on it. But she was posting all these beautiful photos and talking about her experiences. And I looked at her tags because I like to read the whole caption when people post the photo. And she was tagging these places. It was like one of them was hashtag Let's Shoot Vancouver or so. Another one was Model Mayhem. So I started looking at these tags, right? That's where I started. And I found out, oh, okay, there's modeling sites where we can sign up, women and men who are like photographers, like body painter. It's not just for that. It's like body painters, filmmakers, because, you know, there's directors out there who need to cast for a movie. There's actresses, just all kinds of creatives who want to get together and shoot. So I figured, oh, okay, I'll make an account. I don't think anybody's really going to pick me because I don't have anything nice up here. But, you know, like maybe I can get one or two professional pictures, you know, being in the pickup field, starting things off again. And then all of a sudden I was just bombarded with people who were just really friendly, wanted to shoot. Some of them were a little creepy, like they wanted me to get nude right off the bat. I was just not having that. But a lot of them were very nice. And I started shooting a lot. And I've had quite a lot of interesting adventures, actually. I started using the photos on my online dating profile, and my results skyrocketed. It became where girls were, I wouldn't say they were hesitant, but they were definitely more eager to meet me. They were the ones online who started approaching me first. And it was kind of like, whoa, because, you know, as a pickup artist, you're the one who's used to doing the pursuing. I don't want to say, oh, like we're just pursuing girls like that, but, you know, we're the ones who are, you know, taking the lead. We're the ones who are making them comfortable. We're the ones who are setting the mood. We're the ones who are taking control of the situation to make sure everybody is doing well. And so it felt really interesting when girls are like, hey, yeah, let's meet up. Like, what's your number? And that doesn't only come from that, from online game. Oh, are you still here? I talk a lot.
I am. This is very interesting. Continue, please.
Oh, okay.
And more questions are coming up.
Yes. I don't want to be too talkative. Always good to have you speak, too. Let me see. Where was I going with this? I'm so sorry. I just forgot.
Well, I tell you what. Some questions came up. So
I'm curious.
I'm curious. You know, we're talking evolution of consciousness. By the way, I can detect that your recipe is very genuine, and I want to outline what I'm detecting. One thing that I've always been fascinated with is the old neuro-linguistic programming concept of modeling and strategies. And I think your strategy starts with such a genuine passion that, of course, the rest will follow. So that's very inspiring, Fly. You know, at the same time, I'm also curious, evolution, there's social evolution that's going on. What do you think, like, for the younger crowd, what do you foresee as part of the social evolution? I know that for people that are older, there was that all, I don't mean to touch on it, so I'm just going to mention it now, but I heard guys voicing the concern of the Me Too movement and the restrictions that evolved around. But I think that for young crowd in their 20s and so on, the social evolution, so where is it going at that level? I'm curious to hear your take among artists and so on. Do you think that more liberties are found? The process is expedited? What evolution do you detect at the level of the social code?
I think it's going to be just the same as it would be in another situation. I think it all depends on the person that you're hanging out with. I think the whole thing is with this Me Too movement and stuff like that is there's two things that I noticed that go on is that it's either that the guy is usually the one who has perpetrated something and the girl is usually genuine, but then there's the other flip side where the girl is like using all this stuff to get media attention, and then there's been an admittance by them that they lied about it. So there was there's been a lot of cases coming up also against women, which I'm actually glad about because that means that we're going to take cases that are, you know, that are not false more seriously. Because I feel like there has been a little bit of validation for the Me Too movement, a little bit, but I've been seeing a lot of cases come up of women who are using it as a way to lie and take advantage of somebody. So I think, honestly, when it comes to social game, when it comes to everything, it's basically the same. I think what people do have to be a little bit aware of is that there's a reputation that follows you when it's social game, because it's not like something like Cold Approach or Online Game where somebody can walk away and say, you're a creep. If you are in social game, like, you know, you're doing your craft, like if I was to do modeling or photography and I made somebody feel very uncomfortable, they could tell other people. I've had that happen actually, where I've had to tell other models, and I didn't do it on, like, I wasn't doing it to be like, oh, I hate this guy, I don't like this guy. One time I went to a modeling shoot, I talked about this in one of my YouTube videos, and I was very not smart about it. I had shot by myself in a mansion somewhere near Santa Monica area, and the guy had basically asked me if I would have sex with him for $500. Well, I did not have sex with him for $500. Obviously, I was not interested in that. I was interested in getting pictures. The pictures did not come out very well. So this was somebody I was never going to shoot with again, because first, you know, you asked me an inappropriate question, and I have somebody in my life, and you don't do that during a professional shoot, right? Even if it's a hobby, you're supposed to act like a professional in front of people. So then I found out that he had contacted one of the models that I had worked with that I had hired for a photography shoot, and she had asked me about them, and I had to tell her it's not a good idea to do that. And then I had shot with another model who had shot with him, and she said, yeah, he had asked me the same thing. So this guy was basically just trying to buy escorts, but he was modeling as a cover-up for it. And that went around quite quickly. I wasn't the one spreading rumors. Like, I wasn't the one, like, saying anything, but, like, the only time I said anything bad was, I guess, here. And I'm not revealing who he is, just, you know, because he also has, like, a side of the story and stuff. But, it happens. It happens. You know, you do one creepy thing. People take their reputations very seriously. But there's also a flip side. So I worked with a photographer who did body painting, and that's a whole different thing because you're actually painting girls when they're naked and making art on them. And there was a case where where a false accusation got turned around right on the model. So she had accused him of being like overly sexual, flirting, and all this other stuff. Well, the makeup artist who was there was very close friends with the photographer. She automatically blocked the model from the page. She sent her like a whole email. She was like, you know, this model had said this about this photographer. It's really untrue. And then all the models who had worked with the photographer before came and spoke up and said, I have never experienced anything bad. I've never experienced any sort of ill will from this person. And then the girl admitted, she was like, oh, I'm sorry, like I kind of lied. She was doing it because she was pissed off that she didn't get her pictures on time because the guy needed a couple more days to do touch-ups. And she had just freaked out, was mad about not getting credit or getting her photos, and so she wrote a bunch of false accusations. But when it went around into the modeling community with models who had worked with him, knew he was professional, worked with the makeup artist who knew he was professional, she took that shit right down. So there is always a way. It's all about how your reputation precedes you and how you treat people.
So I want to talk about social game. I notice there's two pitfalls when it comes to social game. First, the promise of the quick fix. Somebody did not pay their dues. They don't have any game. And they think that by developing, you know, something at a social level, then it's going to optimize their game. So one of the pitfalls to avoid is make sure that you remember game is game. At the same time, having a vehicle makes it much easier and broadens the options and opportunities. The other pitfall for many guys, which is interesting because I don't sense that all from you, but for many guys, is they put their pickup ahead of the passion. You know, you see guys that, oh, I should go to a yoga class to meet girls. No, you go to a yoga class because you love yoga. And as you love yoga, you know, you are you. So there's going to be some natural, organic ripple effects. So some recommendation and your definition of social game.
For me, to what my version of social game is?
Yeah, tell us. I mean, it's all right. I know it's an interesting combination. I just woke up and you're about to go to sleep. Oh, no, you do have a photo shoot, so you're like 24/7.
Oh, yeah, I woke up, 3 o'clock. Yeah, go ahead.
So if you can tell us about social game, because we chatted briefly before the call and you were telling me about, or you phrased it differently, and that's why it's not resonating. I'm not sure, Fly.
Yes. So
social game. Yeah.
Sure. So for me, social game is going into something that you're passionate about and then meeting women through there. So I had given an example before of somebody who likes video games. Like, if somebody who likes video games but they don't like modeling or they don't like photography, they shouldn't have to do that. But if they like video games, then they can find things to do. They could go on Twitch. They could stream on Twitch. They could go to, like, Twitch meetups. Those are for people who do video games, I believe. They can go to video game tournaments and stuff. People say there's not a lot of quality women there, but there's all kinds of people there that you can meet. There's promo models that you can meet there. There's cosplayers that you can meet at some of these things. There's other streamers that you can meet who have high followings. Like, everybody talks about, oh, wanting to meet, like, Twitch girls and blah, 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 but nobody actually wants to build up their own following and do something like that, you know? Like, nobody really wants to put in the work. So I think, for me, I like what I do, and I put it before women. And because of that, I've been able to do a lot of things. I had actually a music video shoot that I did, and I had a date yesterday with another one of the music video girls in the music video who was there. We had a date, you know, so you get to meet all kinds of people. It kind of comes with, because you're talking to people, you're getting to know people, you're being social, you're at these events working, and women see that hard work and they want to know you and they want to take you places and they want to do those fun things with you. So I've had a lot of amazing encounters in this, and yeah, it's been great. But even if, just to be honest, even if they stopped, like, let's say, you know, for a year, there was no woman gave me any indicators of interest at all or whatnot. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm going to stop shooting. I'm going to stop doing photos. I'm going to stop modeling. Like, I'm not going to care. I'm just going to do even more photos and more shooting and stuff because I just love it.
What's
so it's all about finding
the
passion.
I want to identify a kind of a core mindset or code of conduct, because I know that for some guys it could also be that they are the ones kind of being led on to take more pictures, and, you know, the guy's not really straight up, and he hopes for something to happen, but it doesn't really happen. I always have worked with a lot of photographers, guy photographers, and oftentimes, you know, I see how quickly a woman could go, oh, maybe you could take a picture of me. And then the guy gets hopeful, and then he becomes like a gopher. So what's the balance? What's the proper mindset to thrive at a professional standpoint, to grow in the circle, and also be very attractive and appealing and maintain that dynamic? What are a couple more ingredients? I think we're on it. You're stating it. And I want to narrow it down to really an optimal attitude, you know, the win, 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 and it makes everything better.
Sure. So I wanted to address about the photographers that you were talking to before. If they're really feeling like they're disappointed at the end of the shoot, then maybe photography isn't for them, because even like at the end of the shoot, if you're really passionate about shooting, you shouldn't be disappointed whether or not the girl has a boyfriend or not. You should be happy with the pictures that you have. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, when you said, I'm not sure if I'm hearing that correctly. And I know it's like a little bit like, oh, okay. And I understand people can be disappointed, but if you're not if you're just going in and, you know, you're hopeful, I think people are always going to be hopeful. We're all human beings. Like even photographers that I've shot with, like I've noticed them, some of them being flirtatious and, you know, they're men, like, well, at least the ones that I've shot with, like, you know, it's a human thing to do. But at the end of the shoot, regardless of what the model's status, married, got a boyfriend, not interested, whatever, it's the pictures that matter. Because if you take really good quality pictures and the model feels comfortable with you, right? It's all about the connection with the person. We've spoken about this many times before, like with our own individual teachings. It's all about the connection that you have with the woman. Like you never know what's going to happen. You know, there's some people who they find out, oh, they have a boyfriend, but they shoot with somebody multiple times. And then, you know, one day boyfriend leaves, doesn't want to be with the girl anymore. And then, oh, what do you know? Like now, like they've been dating the photographer and model because they've shot so many times. Or like, and I'm not saying to hold on for that, but I don't understand how people cannot be excited about pictures, like being able to touch them up, being able to post them, which is going to attract more women because you're going to meet more women who are going to want to shoot when they see the quality of pictures. So even if one doesn't work out, you have many more. We do the same thing when we talk about night game where, okay, her friend's not there, but if we're friends with her, then she might have other friends who could be interested in me who are also at her level of hotness or intelligence or whatever. It's the same way with modeling, except now that you have pictures, you have proof of it. So girls are going to be more attracted to that and wanting to shoot with you. You're going to meet more girls and you're going to have more people, you're going to be around more beautiful girls, right? Because that's the whole point, is to be around that. So, you know, eventually people will be able to do that. I don't know if that made any sense, but with me, it's a lot of girls are interested because of the pictures that I take. Like they're interested because I am so passionate about making everything look good and making a beautiful art piece. So I'm a total photo nerd when it comes to this. I'm not just going to, you know. Yeah.
It totally makes sense. And I, at the core, it's also the internal model of scarcity or abundance. I think that's the ingredient that can come in the way or help along. And that's a beautiful dynamic. So, Fly, I intend to do a second part interview on Zoom at some point just before the convention. And sure. Fly Hudson, the lesbian pickup artist, is going to be with us for EC20 Decade of Dream. It's a very elite event where we basically sold out at the level of attending in person. And it's all about really entering the new decade in the best of all possible ways with the support of mentors in all the main areas of life. So it's quite a bracket of diversity. I love the bracket of teachers that we bring and all the doors that it's going to open. Your best bet, you could also participate from home through the live stream and then get the recording and all the bonuses. Best bet, if you're listening to this right now, is in the description, there's going to be a link to tell you more about EC20, and on your side, what link would you like to share, if any, Fly, so the listeners could contact you?
Sure. You can check out my Facebook, my Facebook page, which is Lesbian Pickup, LEZBIN, and then Pickup, PICKUP. And also, if you just YouTube search Lesbian Pickup Artist, I should come up under Lesbian Pickup. That's all.
Well, thank you, Fly, and thank you guys for listening. More to come.